Poe presentation.
It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. The show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. Professional student and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known as Dojage in Ganyagaha, Yang and Anishinaabe, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah Day, recording from home on Thursday, December the 1st, 2022. On tonight's show, my guests include Sasha Kleinplatz, a name you spot on multiple arts events around town as a choreographer, designer sometimes, and artistic director. She's the hand behind two very interesting events coming up at the Mai this month, a greenhouse installation that has plants as the audience, as well as a performance piece that has 12, count them 12, artists collaborating in real time. After that, Richard Sitobay, also known as Shashu, a member of a new collective of a Montreal street dance artist named Fragment. Their first performance ever is not about pushing aside our challenges. I'll find out about their vulnerable new show for Danse Cité. It's called Superheroes Cry 2, and I'll find out what it takes to collaborate in a unit. Dawn Ford is a comedic actress and a voiceover artist. She's so funny, and she'll be taking part in what is fast becoming one of my new favorite holiday traditions, the all-lady die-hard online table read. Dawn will be my guest before the end of the hour. Before we begin with our conversations tonight, I wanted to share a couple of news items and updates. First off, the 2022 Simonovich Prize will be unveiled tonight at 8 o'clock. So this is a really big prize for theater. It's prestigious. It honors some of the boldest, bravest artistic minds. And they tend to, cycle through different categories from year to year. Sometimes it's writing, for example. The play that just closed at the Centaur by Hannah Moskovich won. She won the Simonovich a couple years ago, Sexual Misconduct of the Middle Classes. So it tends to lift a rising star even higher. And nominated this year, Marie Brassard, Ravi Jain, Anne-Marie Kerr, and Sherry J. Yoon. So you can look up Simonovich Prize. It comes with also a cash reward, which is also really awesome for artists. Other than that, we do have results of another prize in this week, the writer of the Write on Cue 2022 Playwriting Prize. This is operated by Infinitheater, based in Montreal. It's open to Quebec and Indigenous playwrights from all across the country. This year's jury looked through several wonderful pieces. The winner is Tyson Knight, who came up with Hung Up. Second prize goes to The Drowned by Bevan Dooley. Honorable mentions to Would Virginia Woolf Contemplate Suicide If She Were Filipino, which I caught at Mainline Theater. That's by Revan Battingham III. And also The Sound of Dogs by Jennifer Roberts. And the other five finalists include Daisy and the Wonder Weeds by Jean Elliott Manning. I'm loving these titles. E1027 by Lenny Crivey. Hot Blooded Foreigner by Michaela Di Cesare, who is a wonderful writer in person. Kali's Dance by Rahul Varma. He is best known as the head of the Tisri Dunia Theatre Company. And Sinkholes or Six Ways to Disappear by Ajani Poirier, who is also a very gifted performer. So the really fun thing in connection with Pipeline is that they also set up play readings in association with that. And the first one is coming up next week, December the 7th until the 10th. So maybe we'll squeeze this in for next week's show, because there'll be a couple of readings, I believe, happening on the weekend. If you want to find out more, you can head to Infinitheater's website, infinitheater.com. So those are the winners of the 2002 Pipeline Playwriting Contest. It's a great way to elevate up-and-coming and established writers as well. And the big winner this year is Hung Up by Tyson Knight. I think eventually the play gets produced by Infinitheater, but don't hold me to that. You are tuning in to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. In just a moment, we are going going to have a conversation with Sasha Kleinplatz. I'm really intrigued to speak with her because I've seen her name and her work in so many different corners of the city, and we'll find out about her double bill coming up next week. All that and more on Upstage. Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. A little bit of Tame Impala there to get us started. We're going to learn a little bit more this hour about an artist whose name I feel like I've spotted on several projects throughout the city, contemporary dance choreographer Sasha Kleinplatz, co-founder of Wants and Needs Dance Collective. Her work has taken her as far as Vienna to Macedonia. She's done work with Simon Fraser University in BC, and she also started a PhD at Concordia this fall, and that doesn't seem like it's enough work. She's got a double bill of sorts at the Mai Montréal Art Institut Culturel this coming week. First off, a greenhouse installation called We Move Together or Not at All. Riffs on one of her interests, which is consent in dance. And a 12-person dance show called Miracle Close to You. Close to you. I think I got that right. This is one of the more complicated titles that has hyphens in it, which explores togetherness. And it's fascinating because it's improvised. And the dancers not only have control over what they're doing, but control over the sound and the lighting as well. Sasha Kleinplatz joins me on the line. Good evening.
Hi, that was a mouthful. Thank you.
You know, it's only when I start writing up my notes that I kind of go, how do I say this? I'm not sure, but I'm going to have the artist on and I'll check. The dance piece is called Miracling. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Miracling Close to Me, Close to You.
Which is like the Carpenters Close to You and the Cure Close to Me.
No way. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're going to have to pull up the Cure then.
Yeah.
Do you often pull inspiration from like rock or pop music, contemporary music? Is that something that's a thread for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, music is huge to me. It's a massive thread. And like in the way I make work, but also in the way I sort of think about the world, like I was really into like punk and then indie and then techno as a teen. So that influenced a lot of the way that sort of exist.
It's not always easy though to work in contemporary music pop music, I guess we could call it generally speaking, into your work. Is that a challenge for you ever? Like, how do you get the rights to The Cure or whatnot? Or like, do you use it more as an inspiration point?
More as an inspiration point for what we're doing. And in that case, I was just really interested because the work is about togetherness, like in titles that reference this idea of like proximity, right?
Yeah. So why don't we talk about Miracling? And the full title is Miracling Close to Me, Close to You, and I'm so glad that I know the backstory to that because it just makes the title even cooler. So 12 dancers in the same space. I'm curious to know about casting this. It's funny, two people in the cast have actually been on Upstage in the past months, including Winnie Ho and Simon Portugal. And I'm curious to know, just like, how do you go about finding the right people to do something that's so specific, where not only are they improvising their own bodies and relating to each other, but you're also handing over the reins for sound and for lighting. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit ridiculous, but I think I've been working on this for 5 or 6 years. So it started with some people in Vancouver during my master's studies. And then I sort of started asking people in Montreal if they would like to work along with the people in Vancouver. And basically everybody who I asked has a pretty deep relationship with pop music and popular culture, and they're all choreographers. Like, they all make their own work.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. So one of the things I was really excited about was working with people who have their own choreographic practice along with being performers, and they all do.
The words synchronized spontaneity are used here in the description for the show. What does that mean?
So basically, one of the things that I've asked them to work on is to try to find dancing together without pre-planning dancing together. So, like, you know, synchronized swimming, right, where everybody is moving in lockstep and everything is really perfect. So I'm interested in that, but how would it be possible to find that without knowing what anybody is going to do or how anything is going to get done? So basically an impossible task. I was interested in an impossible task.
Now, you said you were looking for dancers who also made their own work. Is that what comes into play? Like, you wanted them to have a vision for their own, what their own bodies were going to be doing?
I think it was more that I wanted to work with people who would be really comfortable disagreeing with me and challenging me, okay. Which kind of goes into the question of consent, which is in both works. It felt really important to me that people would really feel comfortable saying no and setting limits and boundaries and have their own opinions about how things should function. That just is important to me in life. It felt important to the work as well.
But as a choreographer, which is what your kind of main thing is, here you're listed as artistic director. It's kind of like your vision. Isn't that, you're ceding so much control. Is that hard?
Yeah, it's super hard. it's hard in the sense of, like, how do I offer enough structure and enough scaffolding and enough of the skeleton so that they can put meat on the bone, right? I don't feel so worried about ceding control. I worry about taking enough responsibility for my part in it.
Oh, wow.
It's like, it's weird. I have a lot of ethical questions that play out in choreography.
Right. Let's get to that. You're listening to Sasha Kleinplatz, who is the artistic director on two shows coming to the Mai next week, so 7th to the 11th of December. She's also the co-founder of the company Wants and Needs, or the dance collective Wants and Needs, which you can find online at wantsandneeds.ca. I want to talk a bit more about consent, because that also folds into the other show that's happening. What does that mean when we're talking about the dance context?
So I basically started out with my own experience of being a dancer. And so much of dance training is really similar to military training, where you're expected, you know, they say jump 30 times, you jump 30 times. They say jump 30 times higher again, you jump 30 times higher again. And you're not really asked for your own input or what your body is going through or what that experience is like. And so to me, this is like not really consent-based teaching or practices. And it's really normative. It's really normal. But for me, it raises a big question that those of us who went through those kind of trainings as kids, how do we set up saying no, or how do we set up a consensual practice if we were spending so much time without consent as part of how we learn to become dancers? So yeah, that became the starting point for both pieces, actually.
So for you as a dancer, did you ever come up at a point where you didn't feel like you were in control, I guess, of your own work or your own kind of artistic statement?
Yeah, I would say it's more of a weird thing in contemporary dance where you're being told you're in control.
Okay.
But then people will be like, yes, do whatever feels good to you. But no, that was not the right choice.
Right.
So it's like improvise, you know, feel your feelings, but feel your feelings the way I want you to feel your feelings.
Mm-hmm. It's bewildering.
In relationships too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's bewildering.
Yeah. It is bewildering. I think it's very normal in the world. I think people come across that in the workplace and they come across that in relationships. And I just had a reference point in dance for it.
So do you think that you're forging a new path or like a better way to make art by moving towards consent in dance?
I mean, I don't think I'm forging a new path, but I think there's a whole group of people that are, who are working towards thinking through this question. And some of them have turned to being directors of like consent within film or consent within a choreography or within a TV show. A lot of dance people have turned towards that.
And I imagine too, that it also kind of makes the environment safer, more comfortable, maybe less like on a more serious side, you're not pushing your body to do something that's not going to work in that given moment.
Yes. And that's sort of the overarching umbrella on the way I work is like, please don't go to your limit.
Yeah.
Please negotiate what's right for you in this moment.
Yeah. This is so fascinating. I'm speaking with Sasha Kleinplatz, who is a choreographer and is labeled as the artistic director on two upcoming shows. So that's a dance piece that we've just been talking about, Miracling, which is such a cool title, Close to Me, Close to You. And then we also have We Move Together or Not at All, which also, talking about consent, it touches on that as well. This is kind of like an immersive installation in a greenhouse environment. Not at a greenhouse, we're still at the Mai in the plateau.
Yes.
But you have plants as audience members, is that right?
Pretty close, yeah. There's a greenhouse filled with plants, and there's a solo dancer dancing in the middle of that greenhouse, trying to generate as much heat and sweat as possible in order to help the plants to thrive. And then the audience is outside the greenhouse watching.
Oh, that is so wild.
Yeah, it is. It's a little wild.
Now, I also noticed that in the credits, you have someone who's listed as plant whisperer as well as scenography.
Yeah.
Tell me about Odessa Dobby's role.
So Odessa's role is to really make sure the plants are safe. So, I mean, the same way like you would hire someone to make sure kids are safe on a set or animals are safe, like Odessa's job is to really make sure the plants are healthy and well and safe and that we're working in a way that won't harm them.
Are you kind of, it's deliberate to put the audience kind of like on the outside looking in for this?
It is deliberate, but the only reason for it is because I was trying to create a closed ecosystem, right? And if mm-hmm. we open the greenhouse and let the audience in and out, then you're letting out the sweat and the heat and the condensation. So it's really about the closed ecology of the space.
Tell me briefly about your performer. This is Angie Cheng, who's going to be providing the dance, but also the energy to the plants.
Yeah, there's actually five performers.
Okay.
Angie Cheng, Aaron Hill, Peter Yasko, Andrew Turner, and Frederic Rodier. And each of them, again, I consider them like experts in soloing. They have like long research histories as soloists, and I engage them based on that.
I'm really excited to see these shows. I wanted to know what it's like for you as the artist, as the artistic director for these two, to have them happen, not I guess back to back, but running concurrently at the Mai. It must feel pretty momentous.
It's like a nightmare.
fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's like today, one of the technical directors came in and he was like, I think the plants aren't happy. And I was in the other rehearsal with the 12 dancers, and suddenly we had to turn towards the plants and be like, how do we make them happy again? So it's a big juggling act. But it, yes, it also feels momentous, and I feel grateful. And it's Michael Toppings who curated the two pieces together, and I feel really lucky.
Well, congratulations. It is a lot of work, as you pointed out. I'm glad you didn't shy away from that, but at the same time, to have two pieces running at the same time, touching on these really interesting themes of consent and presence as well as like kind of life-giving forces. I mean, it's a big deal. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You don't need me to tell you that, but that's my read.
So I still appreciate it.
Sasha, it's been so great to meet you. I hope you come back to Upstage sometime in the future. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Have a really good night.
Thank you. That is Sasha Kleinplatz, who is the artistic director of two pieces coming up to the Mai. I'm going to mention them really briefly. We Move Together or Not at All, which was the greenhouse piece we were just talking about. And then a dance piece, 12 performers, each doing their own thing. They also have control over the sound and the lighting. So cool. Miracling, Close to Me, Close to You over at the Mai. This is December 7th to the 11th. So it starts on Wednesday and runs until Sunday. And for the greenhouse one, you can kind of go and it's open installation, but then for Miracling, it's a set time. So for tickets and more information, you're going to want to head to the Mai website, m-a-i.qc.ca. Call 514-982-3386. Tickets are $28, reduced price $22. And of course, at the Mai, it's always free for accompanying persons. That is Sasha Kleinplatz. And we're going to play out some Cure for Sasha there. Friday, I'm in Love. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. We're live in studio this evening. I'm your host, Sarah Day. When we come back, we're going to meet Shashu, a member of newly minted street dance collective Fragment. And we're going to talk about vulnerability.
On Saturday, December 10th, the Milton Park Food Bank is hosting a bazaar with a variety of vendors selling vintage clothing, records, cameras, original prints and artwork, home decor, and much more. The food bank distributes food and serves hot meals to neighbors in need. The Milton Park Bazaar will be held at 3594 Jean Moss in the basement of St. John's Lutheran Church from 12 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, December 10th. Hope to see you there. Help us bring food to the table. For more info, contact mpfoodbank@gmail.com. This event is a CKUT co-presentation.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. We talk about theater and performing arts and dance every week, Thursdays between 6 and 7. I'm Sarah Day. Our next guest is here to tell you not to sweep your feelings under the rug, to embrace your vulnerabilities and respect others' own difficult emotions. Fragment is a new collective of Montreal street dance aficionados who are busy assembling their first big work, an immersive dance show that also loops in sound and visual media elements and promises to be unconventional. We're actually listening to the trailer right now off of Vimeo. Fragment is spelled F-R-G-M-N-T. Richard Saint-Aubin, a.k.a. alias, Shashu, is a member of Fragment, and he's performing in the show. It's titled Superheroes Cry 2, and he also furnished a composition that is integral to the piece. Superheroes Cry 2 is coming to Ausgang Plaza next week, and it's a co-production with Densité and Fragment. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. How are you doing?
I'm so great. Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Shashu, tell me, what does street dance mean to you? How did you come to this style?
Oh, it's a whole universe. It's a whole... I came to street dancing, I'd say, in like the early 2000s, where I started to be part of the hubs of where people would practice street dance. And when we say street dance, there's many styles into it also, so... It involves a lot of different people from different areas, so it's really interesting. That's how I started, with popping, and specifically popping, locking, and then crump later on, and so on.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. And how did you come to meet the other members of Fragment? Did you meet at a particular venue or in a particular neighborhood? Where are you guys based?
I'm actually based in the borders of, like, Côte des Neiges and Outremont area. I met them, most of them, well, here's the thing, is like we all grew up in street dance and we have different ages. We came together in different periods and different times, but there's been a lot of growth between then and now when we're together for Fragment. So we all started, met them in like Urban Element, which was it's still active today, one of the studios that that really pushed the envelope when it comes to the DNA of street dance in Montreal. That's Urban Element. Today it's called Urban Zone. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that rings a bell. It's on Saint-Hubert. Mm-hmm. But that's how I met Nene Nguyen. That's how I met Victoria. That's how I met Celine. That's how I met Ja also. So, yeah.
I think the thing that always interests me about street dance collectives or dance collectives at all is how did all these disparate people come together, but all, which you've just told us about, but how do you know that you've clicked? Oh, that's a funny
thing. How do we know if we clicked?
Yeah, and that you want to commit to dancing together.
I think it happened through a demonstration of the passion that we have for street dance, the skills that we have for street dance, and that it's something that we care about because we're still active doing it. I don't think we would have had the idea of doing some kind of collective, like super early on. I think the magic comes in when we have matured in different facets of this type of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And what's cool is that we have different people who came in the game at different periods, so they become with different baggages, which is cool. So it's not all the same people from the same generation, I'd say, you know?
Right. It's not multi-generational necessarily, but different life experiences. As the forum has evolved, people have different experiences.
Yeah, and I say generation, but like street dance generation is like more of a 5 years type of period.
Not like a 25-year period. It's more like
exactly.
Five.
exactly. But in that sense, yeah, it's just that we have different skills. We have we're skills in different spheres, and we just figured that it would be cool to join together on this adventure.
I'm speaking with Shashu alias of Richard Saint-Aubin, who is a member of Fragment. Now, I have to ask, Shashu, where do you fall in the generations? Are you an elder statesman or are you a newbie? Like, where do you see yourself in the dynamic of the group?
I'm part of the well, not necessarily elders, because my teachers are still active. Like, for example, Tash, she was my still is my locking teacher. She's part of the original, one of the like first crews in Montreal, in Canada, is called Flow Rock, which also have members like DKC, other members like C Smooth, who runs B-Boyism, which is another company who does dance on stage. These are people who are like, who came before me and who are now like, some of them are even like, Tasha's a grandma. It's amazing. And she's still dancing today. I would come later on. So like I said, in 2000, that's when I started, I started connecting with the hub of street dancing, 2002, 2003. I was like maybe 19 or 20.
Yeah.
And today I'm 39. Just turned 30.
Happy birthday.
In November, thanks. But yeah, it's really cool to have all that baggage and still be present. And I do it because I enjoy it, and also it helps me learn a lot new things about myself and about life in general.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a continuation of a school or a school of thought, but in this case, it's art, and the art and discipline of it is street dance.
Very cool. That is the voice of Shashu, alias of Richard Saint-Aubin, who is a member of Fragment. They're getting ready to perform Superheroes Cry 2 next week at Danse Cité, in collaboration with Danse Cité, and it's happening at Osking Plaza on Saint-Hubert Street. You also referenced different skills, different generations, but different skills as well, and I know that you worked on a sound composition that has been an inspiration point for the piece. So tell me about what you're doing besides the actual dancing. How do you fit in?
So besides the sound, well, like all of the sound is all produced by me. All of it is composed during the presence of the dancers, whether it be when we're in our residencies in different spots in Montreal. Besides that, I also have a hand in the visuals and the projections that we'll have at the Osgang. And I also have this show, the Superheroes Cry 2 presentation, is it's a direction with a student, also EZC. And she also works with, has a hand in ideas for the visuals and the direction of some of her ideas. And we kind of collide together to make a cool mix. So we have different styles, but what's cool is to be able to marry the cool attributes of each. So, yeah.
I wanted to ask about the content of the show, because vulnerability is a big theme here, talking about not pushing aside difficult thoughts or difficult emotions to sit with your feelings, I guess. And it's right there in the title, Superheroes Cry 2. Tell me more about this focus and what it means to you.
Mm-hmm. For me, it means just literally it's literally a chunk of it is what we experienced as the collective when we got into creative zones. We come in with ourselves, and we come in also with the experience that we've had with what we're experiencing at the moment too. So it's toute une expérience, like I would say in French.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like the synthesized version of it. It's like a synthesized. J'ai fait la synthèse de tout ça. Puis ça va donner l'inspiration pour ça. I know that for some other members of the crew, it might have a different definition, but since you're asking me, for me, it's like, yeah, not only that we like the idea, but it's actually, we've actually gone through certain, obstacles or transformation in a way, but in a good sense, because it's just like us being confronted with different situations and how do we go about them and how do we go through them. And as for me, as creating assets for it, may they be visual or sound or just helping in terms of the direction of certain things or certain ideas. It really helped me to understand more of myself and where I'm at in my life in general. So I'm happy that we've worked together to have this angle. Superheroes Cry 2, it's kind of like a funny title when you think about it, but that's how I want it to be. I want it to be like a little bit quirky in a sense of like, as if it was like a, you know, afternoon PSA that you watch on YTV, you know,
yeah.
type of thing. But it's kind of that. It's a vibe. Having visuals and the sound is a sound that even myself, I'm catching myself humming the stuff that I'm creating in my home when I should be taking a break, you know.
That, you know, that's a pretty good sign that you can't get the music out.
Yeah.
Of your own head. I'm also curious, like, to me, when I think of street dance, I think of bravado and like a very kind of machismo attitude. And this seems different to that, running contrary to that. Are you going against the grain?
No, I don't think we're going against the grain. I think that the bravado aspect that seems portrayed is often misunderstood.
Okay.
I think that I totally agree with what you're saying, of course. But I think at the first degree, that's what we get. But deep down inside, it's just people who want to communicate about mm-hmm. the same things and who want to communicate with other people who may be interested in or who actually are informed in that art and discipline. So, like, when we think street dance, we often think of battles and events where there's a competition and a winner. And I understand that because that's in that field, that's the field that makes the most noise because it involves things that oftentimes never happen. You know, when a dancer excels and does a move that they never thought of doing, and the music is like tailored for that moment because the DJ thought of confectioning something that was something unique at that time. All these things come together. Why? Because essentially we just want to have a conversation about art and discipline. It just so happens to be street dance.
Right.
So like, but intertwined with the idea of entertainment. So of course, competition and all, it's chill, it's cool. But the reason why I think, besides the stage, the main reason why battles happen initially in street corners or initially in the different neighborhoods, so not on the stage, but in the streets where the people are with the people type thing, right? Où est-ce que le peuple est, genre? The reasons why they do those battles or they do the confrontation or whatnot is just to be able to communicate an idea. It's like, hey, I got this idea. I want to show it to you. And this idea, I think that this idea is amazing because of everything that I know and that I've taught. And then you just want to share that idea with another person who may have taught from the same teacher or from the teacher's brother or somebody else who other peers respect also. So it's just like a whole like web or big tree of like great ways of communicating with something that's unique and niche. But in our case, it's just that there's no prize at the end. We're not thinking of a competition. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we're going against the grain. It's still very much street dance or the street dance mentality. But, you know, like the music, I'm not doing hip-hop music, but I'm definitely using my hip-hop influence or my hip-hop mojo in the mix of it all. So
I feel like I'm getting a softer side of the bravado. Like I'm learning about the softer side, the more vulnerable side of the bravado. Like there's two sides to the coin, but we're gonna see that other side that maybe we don't see so much if we go to a competition or a typical dance show.
Yeah, I mean we can kind of see when there's like pre-parties, like the jam before the battle or the jam after the battle. Those are usually moments in telling that. You get to see all sorts of people. You get to see people who just want to go and dance. You get to see the people who want to go in and meet different people who, let's say, who are from out of town but in town for the competition. And then we see the diehard, passionate dancers who are like about who feel mm-hmm. like who lives the dance as if it were a sport. You know, it's like about excelling and being sharp on your skills, like always training, like you're a Kung Fu Shaolin fighter, training every day. That's the same type of mentality and wanting to be part of the cypher, the circle where people dance. When they open up the cypher or open the circle in a club for like people to dance and exchange, those are moments that are very important. The circle doesn't have to be big. It's not the point. The point is having a circle where people can exchange and many eyes can see and many ears can hear also. But then also the circle is there for anybody who wants to share. So that's one thing that's part of the DNA, the equation of street dance in a whole, and that we still practice today. And we'll get a vibe of that on the 10th, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Specifically on the 10th, because we also actually have a party that's not happening on the other days also. There's another, so we have the shows, but we also have a party.
I was going to say, is it the after party? Because you're DJing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm DJing that, and it's happening on the 10th.
As if you weren't busy enough.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been such a pleasure to get to meet you, Shashu. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. I hope I answered the questions properly.
Oh, you absolutely did. We've all learned something about the street dance scene in Montreal from having spoken to you. We're richer for it. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. There's so much street dance happening in Montreal. Check that out. We're really cool about it.
That is Richard Saint-Aubin, alias Shashu, and you can follow him online, djshashu.com. That's djshashu, and he is going to be performing as part of his collective's presentation. The group is called Fragment. The show is called Superheroes Cry 2. We're hearing some of the music from the trailer here. It'll be at the Osking Plaza on Saint-Hubert Street. So yes, Saint-Hubert in the Petit Rosemont Petit Patrie area where they've got the covered streets, and 6524. The show itself is running from the 8th to the 11th. Some shows are at 7, and then some are at 3. One is at 9 o'clock and on the 10th, and that is the one where Shashu is going to be DJing the after party, which is pretty cool. The show itself is 60 minutes in length. Tickets are $30, discounted at $24 for 18 years and under, $15. The after ages ones, the all ages one is at 3 o'clock on the 10th and the 11th. For tickets and more information, call 514-375-6054, or you can head online to lepointdesventes.com, Superheroes Cry 2, and again, DJ Shashu online at djshashu.com. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at ckut.ca. I'm your host, Sarah DeA. Still one more conversation to come this hour of Upstage. We're going to speak with Dawn Ford, who is an excellent comedic actor. You've seen her on TV in a couple of ads. You've heard her in a bunch of kids' shows. And now she's going to be taking part in what's fast becoming one of my favorite holiday traditions. We'll have that conversation for you in just a moment.
What you love and what you
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. Just some Fleetwood Mac there for you. Christine McVie, one of the vocalists, died earlier this week, age 79, after a short illness. So I've been listening back to Dreams. I still feel like Fleetwood Mac is something I know, like the top songs, but I got to listen to the discography and get more of that. So Widely Viewed is just such an awesome, awesome band. And apparently they were going to reunite at some point. So that'll be fun for fans, but obviously very poignant now that Christine unfortunately has passed on. So condolences to her family and also all her fans. You are listening to a show about theater on the radio, and our last interview this hour is about what's fast, at least for me, becoming a holiday tradition, and it is the all-lady live read of Die Hard. Yes, the Bruce Willis action-adventure, widely seen now as a true Christmas classic. Here's some of the trailer.
Have a very Merry Christmas.
So, your lady live out here?
About the past 6 months.
Why'd you come with her, man? What's up?
Because I'm a New York cop. Can't just pick up and go that easy.
John, I missed you.
You can walk out of here or be carried out, but have no illusions, we are in charge.
The trailer for Bruce Willis in Die Hard, which marked its 30th anniversary just a couple of years ago, now widely seen as a Christmas classic. Yeah, that's Bruce Willis there, the New York City cop. His wife moves to LA. She's got a fancy new job. He shows up to the Christmas Eve party. And don't you know, Alan Rickman and his baddie terrorist ransom guys show up and they take control of the Christmas party and the whole building. And Bruce has to fight them off and save the day. Nakatomi Plaza. It is a classic, I think. So Terrence Bowman, who is a Montreal improviser, he's with On the Spot for many, many years, a writer as well. He has adapted Die Hard, and he always casts all women in these performances, and they were doing a lot of staged readings in person at Mainline Theatre. It is, of course, a fundraiser for the Canadian Women's Foundation. In the pandemic, they went online, and I have to say this is one of the most creative spins, the most creative performances I've ever seen for an online show. This coming Wednesday, December 7th, they're going to put it on again, accessible on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter via StreamYard. Starting at 8 o'clock, it will be online for 24 hours after. It's free, and donations are encouraged for the Canadian Women's Foundation. Dawn Ford is one of the very talented performers in the cast. She's a comedic actor, a voiceover artist, and you've seen her on numerous animated shows and commercials, and she performs live as well. And Dawn is on the line. Hello.
Hello. My gosh, what a great introduction to the project. I love that.
Of
it's
course.
It's so fun to hear the clip. Yeah, I was actually just watching the movie myself. It's quite something. And to see women doing it, it's even more something. Although we don't have the music and the sound effects so strong. It's really fun to be able to do, though, I gotta say. It's really something else.
It really is more than just a read. Table reads can be very captivating in and of themselves if you have the right talent and the right material. But the way that I've seen it being performed by you guys is very creatively done, so that, you know, obviously it's set in a skyscraper and Bruce Willis spends a lot of time crawling around in elevator shafts and tunnels and things like that. And it's explosive as well. And somehow, like, Terrence has managed to set this up so that the actors are kind of moving around as if they're, you know, performing in it. And I just don't know how you coordinate it, where you pop up when you need to be there, Dawn, and then you disappear and you pop up in another box. It's quite impressive.
It is amazing. He's quite something, the way he's organized it all, and to make it look like so real online. We're all amazed at how great he did. It's such a good job. And he's you know, tailored down the script a bit. It's not 2.5 hours, so
no.
Don't worry about that. We do it in about 90 minutes now, so, and there's a lot of physicality that goes on. It's really, really fun, and everybody gets into character with costumes and props, and we go all out. It's a full force female cast, what can I say? We love it, and we have a good time, and it's for a good cause, so... How does it get better than that?
So is it easier to follow an actual stage production of, say, like a comedy, a Shakespeare play, regular 2-hour show or 90 minutes perhaps, than it is to follow this one where you're, you know, in the comfort of your own home, but as you said, there's like, you're kind of making explosions happen and putting on costumes and changing characters in some cases. Like, is that easy to do?
in some ways it works really well that we can move quickly and that we're always on. Terrence just puts our little squares, like Hollywood squares, and then if you're not on screen, then our square disappears, so you don't see us. And then it pops up again when we're back on. So it's easier to follow than, say, like a Zoom where everybody's on all the time kind of thing. StreamYard is really, really effective the way it works. And in person, I was in the first cast when we did it in person at Mainline, and it was, I mean, you get the full feedback from the audience and people laugh and they're engaged. And that's really fun, too, for sure. There's no question. It's great to be in person. But online, it adds another dimension. It's kind of futuristic in a way that we can be in our own homes and act it out. I don't know what more I can say that it's so unique. I've never seen anything like that online other than our project. Have you?
No, it really did, at least in my mind, break some boundaries in terms of what could be achieved just using Zoom. And obviously the work that Terrence has put into it to adapt it, to make it work, so we're not watching a 2.5-hour movie, is something else entirely. So tell us about who you're going to be playing this time around, Dawn.
Oh, this time around. Oh, my God. Okay, here I'm playing Carl, Eddie, Tony, Franco, Fritz, Christoph, Heinrich, Theo, Marco. And that's it. I play all the henchmen.
Now, is it funner to get to play lots of different roles at the same time, or is that harder?
I think it keeps me on my toes.
Yep.
Because I have to be aware all the time of who's coming next and what's coming next. But that I can't really, you know, rest and go, okay, now I'm off for a long time and I can just relax, but I'm completely engaged. I don't have a second to waste. I have to really, really focus on who's coming next and what accent coming next and how it all looks. Like, I look like a couple of the guys. I look like I look like Fritz, Christoph, and Heinrich, actually. Yeah. We have the blonde hair, right? So that's kind of fun.
The cast includes Stephanie Breton, Dina Aziz, Susan Bain, Alexandra Laferriere. So a really lovely compilation of local talent. But I know that you are hilarious. You're a great comedic actor. You do a lot of voiceover work. So I feel like you're best suited to do these kinds of henchmen things because you can adapt so quickly, right, to doing different roles.
That's what Karen said. That's what he said when I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, you can do all these accents and everything. It's fantastic. So so that's great. Yeah. We also have Anne Day Jones, who is playing Hans Gruber.
Yep.
And Heidi Lynn Weeks is playing John McClane. Karin is also playing Harry Ellis. Oh my God. I hope she doesn't kill me. Her name is escaping my brain right now. I just wanted everybody to know.
Karen Dion?
Thank you! Oh, my God. Like Celine, only Karen. That's it, yeah.
I get to cheat because I do have everyone's names written right in front of me, so that's fine.
And we're friends. Anyway, my brain. Okay.
The show is free to watch, but donations are encouraged for Canadian Women's Foundation. So they do a lot of different programs, including helping women dealing with economic insecurity, which has been a huge thing in the pandemic. A lot of women have had to quit their work to be able to take care of their families. They work on gender-based violence as well. The stats have just risen so much during the pandemic, unfortunately. And I think, do you know much about this organization?
I know it's huge, and they do such good work, and so many people are involved in supporting them too. There's a lot of people who donate, you know, 10 or 15% of their company. There's a little girl who's 9 years old who has her own aromatherapy business, and she donates to the Canadian Women's Foundation. I mean, it's just amazing, and she learned how to do her own business through homeschooling over the pandemic.
Wow.
So, it's really something. They, you know, they support women and against online hate and cyber violence, the Me Too movement. They're involved in so many things. You could just go to the website, too. CanadianWomen.org and read more about it. I'm so touched and privileged to be able to support them with this show. It's really a wonderful, wonderful cause, and it's great to see women standing together as we do on stage, online, in support of them. So, yeah.
Well, we'll be watching on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. The show is going to be broadcast on Facebook, on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter via StreamYard. That is the amazing program that you were telling us about there, Dawn, that lets creators put together really cool things all together. So it'll be Wednesday at 8 o'clock and then available for viewing on all those platforms for 24 hours after the live stream if you can't catch it then. Dawn, it's been really nice to speak with you. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's great to talk to you too. Have a wonderful rest of your show. Thanks for having me.
That is Dawn Ford, performer, super talented voiceover artist, taking part in Die Hard, a live online table read. And that's right. So CanadianWomen.org, and you'll want to visit Die Hard, a live online table read. For more information and links, visit TerranceBowman.com. Obviously, all the performers are women, but Terrence is the one who adapted it and directs it and puts it together every year. And if you head to his website, TerranceBowman.com, BOWMAN.com, you can find out more information about where to view that, and that's coming up on Wednesday. You've been listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. Tonight you heard my guest, Sasha Kleinplatz, getting ready to put on two shows at the Mai next week, one of which is set in a greenhouse, which is just very, very, very cool, and another one involves 12 actors who are all performing at the same time, which I just, so ambitious and so interesting. So that's at the Mai next week. We also spoke with Richelle Saint-Aubin, also known as Shashu, a member of Fragment. His show comes to Osgang Plaza. It's called Superheroes Cry 2. And when I say his show, it is a collective. So their collective presentation will be at the Osgang Plaza. It's the first one they've put together before. And then Dawn Ford, you just heard there, the all-lady diehard online table read coming to you December the 7th at 8 o'clock. If you're looking for things to do this weekend, oh, and a very big thank you to my guests, of course, as always. If you're looking for things to do this weekend, Elle du Deluge is a dance show on at La Chapelle. I spoke with one of the creators last week. There's flood myths, broken-hearted people, lots of things going on at this particular show. Moby Dick is a marionette performance from Nexus Polaire, which is a French-Norwegian marionette company. First of two shows happening tonight. The next one is tomorrow at Théâtre Outremont, and you can find out more information at Théâtre Outremont and through castellier.ca, the people hosting them. The final weekend also to check out The Covenant at the Siegel Center Studio. It's presented by Théâtre West End. It's about a town created at the Terezinstadt concentration camp in modern-day Czechoslovakia to show the Red Cross how well the Nazis were treating the Jews. It plays with the idea of collaboration, survival, and dignity. It's a very powerful piece from Alice Abrason. I really enjoyed it, and it's on until Sunday. And as well, if you're going to be home and want to stream something, check out Three Pines, new TV show based on the mystery novels of Louise Penny. She's a writer based in the townships, and she's got readers all over the world. Her detective is Inspector Gamache, played by Alfred Molina. Now, why am I recommending a TV show? Well, there's lots of local talent in it. Importantly, Tamara Brown, very excellent performer. Marcel Genet, Ellen David playing smaller roles as well. Check out the credits. It's just cool to see. It's going to launch tomorrow with a few episodes on Amazon Prime. New ones arrive weekly after that. Thanks so much for listening to Upstage. Up next is Grey Matters.
What's the matter? Is everything all right? That's okay. I've got just the right thing for you. CKUT 90.3 FM.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Good evening and welcome to the December 1st edition of Grey Matters. Tonight on the show we have a lecture entitled History Lessons. It was recorded in Santiago, Chile, November 3rd of 2022. The lecture is delivered by Vijay Prashad. He's an internationally renowned historian and journalist. He is the director of Tricontinental, the Institute for Social Research, and chief correspondent for Globetrotter. He is the author of many books, including The Darker Nations, A People History of the Third World, and Washington Bullets, CIA, Coups, and Assassinations. So, here's tonight's lecture on Gray Matters History Lessons. It's part one of two by Vijay Prashad.
I learned a little bit at the time about the New Jewel movement and Maurice Bishop. And I remember writing a longish piece for the school newspaper on the U.S. intervention into Grenada, trying to attach it in my own juvenile way to other U.S. interventions of that kind, including an